you a story. I'm gonna tell you about my town. I'm gonna tell you a big fat story, baby. Oh, it's all about my town. Yeah, down by the river.
Oh, there we go. We're doing the classics. 1965 from the Standells, Dirty Water. Back when the River Charles caught fire in Boston. Kind of leads us into our segment about the Enbridge Line 5 pipeline coming up in a moment. But first, welcome back to the cabin. This is the Up North Podcast, heard live on Wednesday nights on the radio and on the weekends, wherever you find your new favorite Wisconsin podcast. And I got to say, Kirk, before we jump into things here, I missed asking folks to send us emails about a couple of different questions that we talked about early on, either your favorite Packer bar, wherever you have been, or, you know, what other attractions up north you'd like to see us cover in terms of future road trips and news coverage. So the email address is info@upnorthpodcast.com. So you can do that here for the podcast. I'm Pat Kreitlow, along with Sarah Yacoub and Kirk Bankstead.
All right. So we as you could tell, our regular audience, we get pretty hard and heavy into Wisconsin politics most every week. The last segment, we figured we'd lighten it up a little bit and talk about stuff we love about northern Wisconsin as opposed to the stuff that's frustrating us. Unfortunately, we're coming back, though, to what we're all about here at the Up North Podcast, and that's shining a light on things that aren't right about what's going on in northern Wisconsin. So something that is a huge issue up north that's not as well kind of covered down in the southern part of Wisconsin is this Line 5 oil pipeline from Enbridge. And Enbridge is a Canadian oil company. They've had a fair amount of oil spills over the course of the last 10 years, the biggest one being in the Michigan Kalamazoo River in 2010. And so, you know, their track record isn't that great. And most recently, Governor Whitmer in Michigan, she restricted the easements that Enbridge had to get their pipeline through Michigan, which was really important because right around the Mackinac Island area is some really fragile environmental, it's a very fragile, beautiful place. And so, you know, she kind of blocked Enbridge from going into Michigan. And then all of a sudden, the Bad River Tribe in northern Wisconsin took Enbridge to court, and they don't want to let Enbridge use 12 miles of their reservation territory for the this Line 5 pipeline. So, you know, while these issues are in court, Enbridge has decided they're going to try to reroute this big, huge oil pipeline through the Shawmigon Bay area, you know, near Ashland, you know, et cetera. And so that is that's caused a lot of people to be up in arms because that's a beautiful, beautiful area of northern Wisconsin. So we have a wonderful guest tonight, and I'm not going to say what her name is, her first name or last name. We're going to call her the Grassroots Ninja because that's what it says in her Zoom chat here. But we'll call you Grassroots. So she's joined us. She's an activist against the Line 5 in the Shawmigon Bay area, and we're really happy to have you here, Grassroots. And can you just tell me the story of why you and your, you and the folks that are with you don't want Line 5 going through Shawmigon Bay, and that what you're doing right now to try to stop it?
Okay, so you use that word again, activist, and that, you know, that's why we've got to be ninja, is because activists are trouble in the eyes of this Wisconsin legislature, but really we're just the people, and we're people that live on the shore of Lake Superior here, and I happen to be one who grows right into the ground, right into this water. And this is the inherent home of the Lake Superior Anishinaabe, and Bad River is part of my lineage as well. And they weren't the only ones, by the way. Another tribe in Michigan, Bay Mills, also evicted Enbridge as well. And Enbridge turns around and sues both tribes. So what, when you were talking about the Kalamazoo spill, and the Kalamazoo spill was part of our education, and that's what we're doing, is we're trying to get our community engaged in what processes are going on and educate others, because we're really all in this together. And I believe in our community. We're a really talented group of people. We care about this area, and nobody really lives here for the money. The median income is not that high. This is a beautiful, wonderful place. Whether you're inherent to this place or not, I like to think that most people live indigenous to this place. It's a very good place to live. But I'll say hello to Steve Coutherman, by the way. I heard you talk about him. So when we started talking about that Kalamazoo spill, we brought John Bolenbaugh to the area in 2017, and we held 8 community forums with John Bolenbaugh, who was the whistleblower for the Kalamazoo spill. And what an atrocity. He was a foreman within hired by Enbridge for the cleanup of that spill. And what they were actually doing were asking them to cover it up. And so he became a whistleblower on that, and it cost billions and billions of dollars to eventually clean up the cover up too. There's another spill over in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, that was in 1991 that still is affecting that ecosystem as well. And I also happen to have been in a Supreme Court hearing in the state of Wisconsin, in which Enbridge does not have to carry insurance. So here we are on the shore of Lake Superior, and we are assuming all the risks for this Canadian foreign pipeline company that's coming through our waters and acting like bullies and lying.
Let me follow up. So I've read all, you know, as much as I could about this in a short amount of time, just to make sure that I didn't act like, you know, didn't sound dumb, but you've been living this for years. These pipelines are not new, right? I mean, a lot of them were started in like the 60s or 70s, and so they're old. They've been propped up as the land has settled, especially land under, like the underwater land, if things have shifted. And that's why, yeah, everyone is worried about when are these things gonna rupture? Is that true?
That's true. There's already been over 30 spills on this line already. In its history, and there are these pipelines are expired. They were made for a different kind of material, a different kind of oil they called sweet oil. This is not sweet oil coming through these pipelines that expired. You know, they were put in so many years ago, they've been expired for a long time, and so has their leases. We also have the Shawmigan Nicolet Forest, which is going to be part of these lines are coming through. They have an expired lease also over there, and nothing's been permitted, but Enbridge is going to bully their way through there as well. So yes, we've got these underwater, and we have evicted them. We've said your leases have expired, we're not renewing these leases. So this crude oil is very different from these tar sands oil. These tar sands oil are literally the oil is within the sand, and they have to add all of these other chemicals and put that into the pipe to even move it along that. So it is a gritty material that they're moving anyway. It's no longer sweet oil.
So to give a little further background on this for Enbridge, again, we mentioned Canada-based. They're actually the largest transporter of gas and oil in North America, with many pipelines. Their Line 5 travels through Wisconsin as it's carrying that oil from Western Canada to Eastern Canada, dipping down to its facilities in Superior and in Michigan along the way. But again, you know, as was just mentioned, about 33 spills over the past few decades here. And so that effort to reroute Line 5 is what's currently tied up in legal battles, but is of concern no matter what happens because of the age of the existing infrastructure, much less the spotty record of what happens with the new structure there, Sarah.
Yeah. And I mean, okay, so playing devil's advocate here, Enbridge would just say, all right, we'll just rebuild some pipelines. And the people pushing this are saying, well, you know, there's some jobs involved. So Grassroots Ninja, what do you say to the people who think, you know, let's just let them rebuild and no harm, no foul? How do we help people understand what's at stake here?
Well, where this reroute at is still within the Bad River watersheds. And Lake Superior is very unique, not just in the of the Great Lakes, but to the world. This is Lake Superior. If this spills within those waterways down south of here, it is still the Bad River watershed, and it would be to Lake Superior within miles, within minutes. It could be, you know, we talked about the Michigan here a little bit. In the past week, the valve turners turned off near Vassar, Michigan. They turned off the Enbridge line down there, and they called Enbridge, which they call an emergency response line, and that response should be taking place, and they should be shutting down the line, even though they're manually shutting it down. They called Enbridge and asked them to do the same. It took Enbridge over an hour to get to the site where they were at, and over an hour to respond to them even turning off what they were doing for the safety of the line, which that is why a valve turner called Enbridge. So do you think that an hour is an acceptable response to a line?
Yeah, I mean, just look at what happened off the West Coast just a couple of weeks ago, where again, it took hours to get a valve, recognized to be shut off, and how much damage was done by that
quickly.
So what I'm hearing is, I mean, no matter, I mean, these guys have a bad record of not only lots of spills, but a bad record of cleaning up spills. They're not an American company, so it's hard for us to penalize them. I've also heard they're using their treaty in 1977 or so about putting oil like pipeline to fight to get their pipelines through here. So it's not, you know, potentially it's this company and not necessarily pipelines in general, but it's the history of them failing to do what is right, which is making everybody get super worried, especially in Wisconsin where the watersheds are happening. Like if these guys had a crystal clear, pristine record, it may be a little bit different. Obviously, we're all hoping for alternative energy, you know, wind and sun versus oil. But you know, until that happens, they're going to argue that we still need pipelines. But this company,
Kirk,
in particular,
look at the parallel to what else they wanted to try up there near the Bad River home, was to do metallic mining, and how for decades the rule on the book in Wisconsin was, we're not saying you can't mine, you just have to show us that the method that you want to use has been used for 10 years someplace without causing contamination. That doesn't seem to be like a very, you know, high bar to reach if you want to protect the waters up here. And yet, rather than do that, ever since the Scott Walker era began, has been this assault to change the law to make it easier to do metallic mining. And so Grassroots, you know that there are a lot of elected officials in Wisconsin who, for whatever reason, are not on your side. And what does that mean to you to have people representing your area with that kind of position about the environment?
Well, you know, around here, they really have no social license to operate here. There are municipalities of Ashland, LaPointe on the island, and Bayfield, and other tribes that have come out on the record in solidarity with Bad River's move on evicting Enbridge. We do have a local legislator who did side with the anti-protest laws, the felony protest bill, and she co-sponsored that. So that's a real concern from us. What's going to be next? Is she going to flip on waters too? We're talking about ultimately the waters here. And water is life. This is not just an inherent view. This is a truth and a fact that we fight for. What goes on downstate there is So many people will say, what will the tribes do? What will the tribes do? And the tribes do. We also talked about Governor Whitmer and Michigan going to this 1977 treaty. Well, what about the 1936 treaty? The 1836, 1842, the 1854 treaties. If we're going to talk about treaties, what about the inherent treaties? One which was upheld here in the state of Wisconsin, the 1854 treaty is one of the strongest environmental treaties in the country. It was held up by the Voigt decision in 1988. And what it basically come down to is that the indigenous never lost the right to be sustained by these lands. And right. There is also beyond those promises within those treaties, we have the Wisconsin Constitution here as well. The right. Wisconsin Constitution sees the navigable waterways as belonging to the people, and the responsibility to protect them shall be unabridged, and it is up to our legislators to uphold that for all of us.
I think that
they need to look back a little bit further than that 77 treaty and go back to what this is really about. Water is life, period.
That's right. Well, Grassroots Ninja, we appreciate your time and filling us all in on this very key issue. We know there's a lot of legal wrangling that's going to go on, but also a lot of activity that folks can support if they wish. And so again, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Miigwech.
And we should note that while we don't owe equal time to cover issues of concern like this, we will provide an opportunity if someone from Enbridge wants to take our questions. But with that, we're going to take our final break, switch some gears, get set to wrap up the show right after this. You're up north.